The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I feel like I need to explain a little bit about who I am because I know a lot of you, and I've taught many of your kids as a children's pastor, but many of you haven't gotten to know. And so I want to just start this morning by explaining a little bit of my story. I graduated high school in 1987, Forest Lake High School, and in 1987, I met my beautiful wife, Tammy. Give her a hand. And at that time, I was kind of searching. Didn't know exactly where my life was going. And Tammy led me in a direction that led me to a man who led me to Jesus. And I received the Lord in 1988. And at that time, in 1988, it was an amazing transformation that happened within me. And I remember some of the first things that my wife gave me. And she gave me some cassette tapes. We didn't have internet, you know, rampant like it is right now, so we could download anything we wanted. And she gave me some cassette tapes. CDs were just probably starting to get into place, but these cassette tapes were teaching tapes. And one of the men, two of the men, well, there's some men that were really influential in my life at that time, in 1987, 1988, 1989. Kenneth Hagin, Dr. Norval Hayes. And I really started to immerse myself into the Word of Faith movement. And, you know, as time went on, things changed. But I have to be honest with you, the Lord's starting to stir up some things in me right now that really were imparted deep within me at that time in 1987, 1988, 1989. So today, kind of what has happened from that point forward, I mean, we went to some other churches, and I got involved in children's ministry because I wanted to connect in a way. Children's ministry brought me connection with the body, and it also gave me the opportunity to share with children. So I realized that part of my gift was a teacher. So I'm going to teach today, but I haven't taught children in a while. It's been a while. The Lord actually, I felt the grace move back about 4 or 5 years ago. I moved away from as children's pastor in this house. Some of you guys were around when I was children's pastor. Some of those people are growing up and have had kids now, so I guess that's starting to age me a little bit. I'm a teacher at heart. I really am. And it's fun to be able to come back and teach. I believe that the teacher has gotten a bit of an interesting twist over the past probably 5, 6 years. Only because there's so much information out there right now that the teacher maybe isn't as valued as it used to be. But it's in me, and so lucky you get to listen to me teach. But we're going to do it in a kingdom way, okay? We're going to do it in a kingdom way. Something that in the last few years, or recently, actually last year, Alan Ross was here, and since we laid down children's ministry that we'd done for many years, I think it was probably 15, 20 years that we did children's ministry, not in this house, but different places. Since that time, I've been kind of like, okay, Lord, what's the next step? What do you got for me? And Alan Ross, during a presbytery last year, just mentioned that, you know, what he saw in us, two things that really resonated with me, was that we were going to be like kingdom ambassadors. And the other thing that he really resonated with me is he said, you're in the bricks. So I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm in the bricks.
Yeah.
And we love this house. This house is amazing to us. I'd love to know all of you a whole lot better than I do, but it's interesting that, you know, it's just hard to do that sometimes because we get so busy in life and whatnot. But being in the bricks and being in a kingdom ambassador, I'm comfortable with that. The Lord has really moved me into the business realms lately. And it's really interesting because what I really like to talk to you about today is being led by the Holy Spirit. And these are some things that really, that I did get back in the 80s, but in the early 90s, but have really been starting to resonate within me a lot more again lately. Because we are so overwhelmed with information, and it's true. Just think about it. I want to get a little bit interactive here because I don't want to just sit up here and talk to you for 45 minutes. So, I need some help. Is this on? Good. I'll put it back here. Who in here is about 70 years old? Jim, can you come up and help me? Come on, Jim. You put me on the spot before I can put you on the spot. I love Jim. Jim's actually the one that encouraged me to get involved in the elder board.
Yeah.
Jim was on the elder board at that time. Great man of God. I'm not going to quiz you too much today. Okay. I'm curious, do you remember when you were a child seeing your grandfather? Do you remember back that far?
Was already passed away.
Okay, so okay, as a child?
Yes.
Okay, so your father then. Let's talk about your father. I'll give you this. Okay. All right, so your father. And you seeing your father as a child, how did your father gain information, knowledge, or news from the world?
From the newspaper.
From the newspaper. Any other ways?
Radio.
Radio. Okay. So his morning would probably consist of him getting up, reading a newspaper.
Listening to the radio.
Listening to the radio. Good. Thank you. That's all I needed.
That was easy.
All right, now I need somebody who's about 50 years old, 45 to 50 years old. Oh, nobody wants to raise their hand now.
I'm 44.
Okay. Come on up.
I'm 44.
Yay, Lisa.
Now, do you remember your father?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to. Sorry about that. So, how did your father gain knowledge or information?
He was a farmer, so we just had a little radio, and he listened to a lot of WCCO ball game type stuff while he milked the cows.
Okay.
At home, we had a record player. I remember that. But that was really it.
Okay.
In the car, I think we had AM in the car.
So still no television set at that point.
We had one black and white television that we could watch after 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So we had just one little one. You know, you had to turn a channel. It was that kind
yep.
of thing. We got about 4 channels, and we weren't very. I think.
But the newscasts were on. I'm sure on the news. Yep. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
What else? I don't think that was. I think that
no
was
Encyclopedia Britannica
yes,
in the house. You know, the big volumes
yes.
of Encyclopedia.
Yes, my mom invested in that, and that was really how us kids got to know about different animals.
Yeah.
And different, you know, it was an Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
You had that too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember that. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Now, I need somebody who's 20 years old-ish, 20 years old that's willing to talk. Come on, 20-year-olds, be brave. All right. Thank you so much. Now, how do you get all of the information that you need that's out there?
Well, I don't have a TV, so... I recently turned my Facebook back on. that's really the only way I get it. Otherwise, word of mouth through people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. People and Facebook now. When I didn't have Facebook, I didn't know nothing.
How about Twitter? Do you do that? Maybe. No. How do you get news? Just people. Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all posted on there.
Okay.
You Google?
And Google. Google Magic, my friend.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So you don't necessarily watch Fox News, CNN.
No, I dislike
WCCO, CBS, ABC. Read the Washington Post.
I did growing up.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, growing up, I would watch the news channel just because that's what was on, not because I chose.
But no
to
desire
watch
to
it.
Now, because you don't choose to do it, right?
Yeah.
No USA Today. No.
I read the I live in Zimmerman, so I read that.
Okay.
Sometimes,
yeah.
And we get the St. Cloud Times or something like that.
Cool.
I'll go through that, but usually it's just to read the comics.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much. So what did we learn from that little? Things are changing, right? And things have changed quite a bit. I got some interesting statistics that I started to pull up because I'm a teacher and that's what I do. Look at facts and figures. I got to get them out here, so. And this stuff just really supports it. Prior to the 1400s, there was what was called folk news. Prior to the 1400s. And what folk news was, and it's interesting because this actually became, it still is popular, and even you mentioned it, that you get information from your friends and a sort. Folk news, what would happen is people would get together at either in church lobbies or at the bars or at coffee houses, and they would share with each other the news of the day that they heard. It was just amongst each other. That's what it was. That's how people got their information. They found out about things. It was in folk news prior to the 1400s. The printing press was invented by the German Johannes Gutenberg about 1440, and not until 1605 did we get our first weekly newspaper. 1605. All right? The first radio news program was broadcast in 1920, and the first scheduled news broadcast on television was 1940. January 1st, 1983, something happened that was amazing. They started to build what was called the Network of Networks. And that became the Internet, or the World Wide Web as we know it today. There are over 1.2 billion websites as of today. Websites and apps. I looked it up. They actually have a counter on the Internet that shows it going up. And actually, it has decreased because I think we've kind of hit a plateau. But 1.2 billion sources of information are out there. That's a staggering number. I start to think about that. And here's another interesting, and the staggering facts behind that 1.8 billion websites. 34% of 18 to 29-year-olds get their information from websites and apps. 32% of them get them from social networking. So if you put that together, 66% of 18 to 29-year-olds get all of their information from over 1.2 billion websites or social networking sites. Does everybody think, I was curious, like Jim, just, you can nod your head, but do you think, from like when you were a kid or you saw your dad, do you think that the standard of journalism back then, the way people reported things, do you think it's gone up, has it gotten better, or has it gotten worse? It's gone down, right. It's because there's so much source of information and nothing that's really holding our news sources accountable to giving us what we need. So So why am I saying all of this? Okay, so 22% of 18 to 29-year-olds get information from website, get information from television, so only 22%. 14% get information from radio. And only 5% now get information from printed news, which just how many generations ago was the standard, the newspaper. So it's completely changed. So why am I saying all of this? Because we need to know how to navigate this. When I was a kid and I'd play outside and I'd get thirsty, I'd go back behind the house and there was a little hose back there and I'd drink off of that hose. Water never tasted very good, but it sure was refreshing, right? That'd be today, like, I mean, if that hose was information, that'd be like taking a fire hose and putting it up to your face and trying to get a drink off of it. So how do we navigate that? We learn to be led by the Spirit. Yeah. And Jesus told us that he wasn't going to leave us alone. Believe it or not, all of what we're talking about, things of politics, everything that's going on, it's all part of God's plan. He's got a purpose behind every bit of it. And he hasn't left us alone. He's given us a helper. So let's take a look in the Bible. I'll put this down now. I notice when Bob comes up here, he rips this thing off with force and then takes it over. No, I don't need that. I have my crutch I can walk around with. So Romans chapter 8 in verse 12. If you don't have a Bible, we got the world's largest Bible back here. So you can read up there. All right, let me get to it. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many that are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So back in 1987, I have to back up just a little bit prior to that, but I have to tell you that at 12 years old, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And that was a scary time of my life. Because the doctors told me at that time that I was going to die of a terminal disease, something that was going to happen to me, and I had to accept that fact. I wasn't saved yet. All I could really do is listen to what the doctors were telling me. And if I didn't take care of myself in a certain way, it would probably happen pretty soon. And so I had to deal with that. It was difficult. But in 1988, when Tammy started to give me the Norval Hayes tapes, I started to listen to this guy, and the set of tapes that was right on the front of the cover, it said, "You will live and not die." And I started listening to this guy, and this little guy in a white coat, I've seen him later. We went and saw him downtown. This little guy in his white coat, Texan guy, whatever, Texan, he's walking around and he'd say, "You're going to live and you're not going to die. You're going to live and you won't die. You're going to live and you won't die. You're going to live and you won't die," over and over and over. I'd listen to those tapes. "You're going to live and you're not going to die. You're going to live and not die," over and over. So I started thinking to myself, you know what? I could live and not die. So there's three parts to all of us. God made us in him as his image. He's three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. We have a flesh. It's our body. It's our bones. It's our makeup. It's our organs. It's all of us. But it's not meant to dominate us. But it speaks. When you don't eat for a few days, you get hungry, right? Yeah. Well, in my case, if I don't eat for a few hours, I get hungry. You get hungry and your body starts to talk to you, but that's not supposed to dominate you, right? Nike came out with that big saying a while back. That was their slogan. It probably still is. If it feels good, do it. That'd be listening to your body, only if it feels good to do it. So it's not supposed to dominate us. It's not supposed to be the most part of us that speaks to us the most. But we're also a soul. That's where our mind is, our will, you know, what drives us to do things. And it's where our emotions are. And guess what? That part of us is not... Uh-oh, that spot. That's part of us is not supposed to dominate us either.
Right.
Right? But with 1.2 billion websites out there, and how many social networking sites, and all that stuff that's coming in, sometimes that soul just wants to take over. Right? In the soul, there's gates. All right? So we're challenged to guard those gates. If I had a garden and I didn't want anybody to come and walk in it, I'd make sure that the gate was shut. If I really didn't want somebody to walk in it, I'd put a padlock on it. And, you know, so the gates are important, what you let in. All right? The gates to the soul are imagination, our conscious, our memory, where we get reason and affections. Then there's the spirit. This is the part of us that lives eternally. This is the part we want to tap into. This is where we get faith. It's where we get hope. I heard a lot this morning in the midst of the beginning of us talking about, I heard, you know, people are getting hopeless. We need to tap into the spirit to pick up on hope. All right? Reverence comes from here. Prayer comes from here. Worship comes from here. It's our spirit that connects with the spirit, with God's spirit, little s, big s, little spirit, our spirit, God's spirit, big s, Holy Spirit, and searches all the inward, the deep things of God. This is where the battle becomes most difficult. Most of us can kind of grasp when it's my body that's telling me to do something. But sometimes it's really difficult to decide whether it's this that's telling me to do something or it's my spirit telling me to do something.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have all this information. I'd like to ask Ben if he needed to know how to do something on his car, he would tell me that he'd look it up on YouTube. That's how he would take care of it. You go figure out how to do it on YouTube. He did. You would ask your dad how to fix something on your car. So things have changed. All right. So how do we tap into the spirit? That's the next thing. Well, first we have to understand where the Holy Spirit, where it kind of came, how we know that we have the Holy Spirit. And again, if you turn in your Bibles this time to John chapter 14 and verse 12. And I got to watch time. This is going to go so fast, Dave. I'm sorry. All right, let's get the Bible going here. John chapter 14, verse 12. I'm sure it's on the big Bible back there already. Yeah, she's faster than me. John 14 and verse 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father, and he will give you a helper, another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And then if you jump down to verse 25, it says, again, these things have spoken to you while being present, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring remembrance to you all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and this is towards the end, and he's explaining, I'm leaving. And he tells them this, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, you're going to do greater things than me. But I'm not going to just leave you alone. I'm going to send to you a helper. Amen. And he says the helper is the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn how to tap into that Holy Spirit. Jesus said that it's there. If it's there, we have it. We have the ability to use it. All right, we'll move on real quick to where does it come from then? So Proverbs 20:27 says this. Is it up there? The big Bible? Proverbs 20:27. Oh, Marcy's. She's trying to figure it out. I'll just read it to you. Yeah. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of the heart. Does anybody have a King James Bible in here? King James says belly. All right. So this becomes real clear. Our soulish man is here. This is where the soul is. So if I'm using this to make my decisions, and not necessarily that it's always wrong, but if I'm using this, I'm using the soulish man. So if I want to tap into the Holy Spirit, where's the Holy Spirit? God says he'll use his spirit, or your spirit, to illuminate, to shine light through your spirit, but that's here. We have different places where we can listen, here or here. It's learning to tap into the inward man, the one that's on the inside. So three quick applications. I got 15 minutes to do it, and then I'm going to close. Let's look at the life of David real quick. Did you know that when Jesse anointed David as a little boy, when he anointed him with oil, it said that the Spirit of God came upon him as a little boy. It's not up there. I was thinking maybe she just threw it up there, so there it is. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And then Samuel left. All right? So David, as a little boy, all of a sudden is being led by the Spirit. Now think about this. We'll fast forward a little bit. The Philistines are at the Valley of Elah, and the Israelites are at the Valley of Elah, and they're drawing up battle lines. And here, every day, this 10-foot-tall giant with 105 pounds of bronze armor on would come out with his shield bearer that probably had a shield that was half the height of this 10-foot-tall giant. And he'd come out with a spear and a sword, and he'd come out and he'd threaten the Israelite army, and he'd say, send me a man that was going to fight, that would fight me. Every day he would go out to intimidate. He wanted a one-on-one fight. And he would intimidate the Israelites, and he would mock them, and he would ridicule them, and they got scared, and nobody wanted to fight him. So one day, Jesse loads up little David with some bread and some cheese, and he sends them out to his brothers that are fighting on the line. And David comes up, and he sees this Philistine out there, and he's like, who is this Philistine? This 10-foot-tall giant, you know, that's sitting there, that's ridiculing you. And what will be done for the man that fights him? And he comes to find out that there's this huge reward. He'll also actually get Saul's daughter as a wife. And so David, he's like, oh, I'll fight the guy. I'll fight him. And immediately Saul comes to David, and he tries to put on he gives him his armor. And what happens? That doesn't fit. It was kind of like Liza trying to put on that tool belt up here. You know, to fall off, you know. And he's like, but see, when we don't know how to decipher information, tap into what the Holy Spirit has for direction for us. It's like putting on that armor that don't fit sometimes. And David, out of kindness, tries to put it on, but it doesn't fit. Falls off on the ground, and he doesn't take it with him. But I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure they didn't have internet back then, according to the facts and figures I looked up. David didn't go into Facebook to figure out how to kill a giant. He didn't go on Twitter and type in hashtag giant killer. Hashtag giant killer, right? See how many people have killed a giant. What did he do? He walked over to the dry brook with his staff. And he bends down and he picks up 5 smooth stones. I gotta believe it was the Spirit of the Lord that was telling him to pick up 5 smooth stones to go after a 10-foot giant with 125 pounds of armor on him. And he goes up and he takes one of those stones, and just true to form, the Philistine starts to mock him. What am I, a dog, he says, that you come to me with sticks and stones? And he takes that stone and he starts swinging. Knocks him out. Dead. Right there. Cuts his head off. He listened to what the Spirit of God told him to do. If he would have went out there in Saul's armor, who knows what would have happened, right? Another story. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 through 11. I'm just going to read this. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the ninth hour of prayer. In the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who see Peter and John about to go into the temple ask for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, John and Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he that had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So everybody was greatly amazed. Peter and John, whether they had money to give the guy or not, I believe were led by the Spirit. They told him, rise up and walk. And he rises up and he walks. The last story in an application form that I want to tell you, I have not yet been able to tell without being overwrought with emotion. So if I do cry, excuse me. Not too long ago, April 2016, Henry and Leslie were there. We participated in the 100-year anniversary of Azusa Street Revival. Our outpouring was called Azusa Now. And it was a prayer gathering, and the atmosphere was amazing. As we came into the atmosphere, I could sense the presence of God was there. Everybody was there just to see God show up in an amazing way. And it was held by Lou Engel and a bunch of other people, as well as the Bethel ministry team was there, and praise and worship all day long. And we prayed off and on for many things throughout the day. And it got towards the end of the evening, not the end of the evening, probably later in the afternoon. And Tammy and I and Ben were all there. And Leslie and Henry were there too, but they were there with the Bethel ministry team. And I remember the day kind of making a switch. And Pastor Bill Johnson gets up there, and he starts talking about healing. And he starts saying that, you know, there's been healings that have been going on here all day long, and they were. There were people walking out of wheelchairs. They were holding up wheelchairs down in the aisle, and they were walking around with them. And Ben and I, we left one time to go get some food right around lunchtime, and we saw people out. There were people out in the concession area, which was outside of the auditorium, that were people that were being prayed for, people that were getting healed. It was just, I mean, it was like this was the atmosphere that was there. And Ben thought it was really cool participating in this, and it was amazing. And so Bill, he gets up there and he starts talking about people that their ears are being healed. There's some people over here that their ears are being healed, and he goes, "Is anybody here that's having trouble hearing?" And I look over my left shoulder, and here's this lady sitting up there, and she raises her hand. And so so he's like, some people should gather around them and start praying for them. Well, the Bethel ministry team was there, and they started praying for them. And Ben and I and Tammy went over, and we started praying for this lady. And we go through one round of prayer, and she said, and one of the Bethel ministry team asked if there was any improvement in her hearing, and she just said no. She shook her head, no. And there were some people at that time that kind of started to, you know, move on, but there were a bunch of us that stayed there. And Ben was there with me, too. By the way, I gave Ben $5 because I'm using him in this story. That's the rule, right?
$5.
$5, right? Did Ben, did I give you $5? Yep, he's got it right there. So. He's right there.
I don't subscribe to that.
You don't? Sorry. Did you hear that, Josiah? Yeah. He doesn't subscribe to that. Ben's there with me, and we're praying, and the Bethel team's praying, so we go through a second round, and somebody says, "You hear anything yet?" And here's the deal. She was 100% deaf in her right ear because she had a tumor that was in there that they needed to remove, and she never had any hearing that came back in that ear because of the tumor. And the only reason we know that is because after the second time, we asked if we could continue to pray again. And her sister sitting next to her, and she said, "I'm her sister. I brought her here. And she's expecting this to happen." I don't even know if she was saved, to be honest with you. I think her sister brought her there because she wanted to see the miracle happen, to see her ear get restored. So the third time, we're praying, and the Holy Spirit says to me, "You see that little girl that's sitting right next to her right ear? Have her whisper healing scriptures into her ear." And I'm thinking to myself, "Okay, Lord, they're praying, we're praying." And I stopped everybody in the middle of the prayer, and I said, "Look, I said, this might seem weird to you, but I feel like the Spirit of God just told me, if you whisper healing scriptures into her ear, he's going to heal her ear." And so the girl, she looks at me, just excited. "Can you find some healing scriptures?" So I pull my phone out, and I found a healing scripture, and I gave it to her. And she starts whispering into her ear, whispering it. God took all her diseases, healed all her iniquities. And I saw the lady face kind of shine up a little bit. And she looks at her and she goes, "Can you say that again?" And I, and the little girl looks at me and she goes, "Can you find another one?" So I go and find another scripture, healing scripture, and she starts whispering into her ear again. I heard that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No, I heard that. I'm going to cover this ear completely. You talk into this ear, and I want to make sure this is right. She continues to talk, and that lady lit up. She had gained all of her hearing back.
Yeah.
The reason I get emotional about this, and I didn't get emotional yet, so maybe I won't, is because I look at kids like Ben and Josiah, the winner of our, I know Owen, the winner of the 5K, which I only knew because I went on Facebook to find out, by the way. I wasn't there, but I found out on Facebook. The reason I get emotional about it is because those kids I know have been raised in that environment to listen here. And how much are they going to have to take out there? And when the Holy Spirit tells them to do something and they do it, if you're out there and the Holy Spirit tells you to talk to somebody at Walmart, please listen to that.
Amen.
If you're at the grocery store and you see somebody that, wow, you know, just something's off there and the Holy Spirit wants you to do something there, please listen to that. When we get in here is where we start making mistakes. We start thinking that we have to fill a quota. We have to take care of this. We have to take care of that. When we start to listen here, that's when it makes a difference. God needs every one of us. He wants to use every one of you if you're going to listen to the Holy Spirit. So, he'll use you anyway, even if you don't, because everything's working to his good. Well, there's many sources of information out there, just in closing. Although there's many sources of information, I would encourage you to guard your gates. Don't just let anything in. Guard your doors and seek truth. Like David, when you're clothed in the Spirit, you can run towards the battle full of faith. You can know that the Holy Spirit is leading you into victory, no matter what victory looks like. You can rest knowing the Holy Spirit is leading the fight. And third, learn to hear the Holy Spirit. He's your everlasting help in time of need. He's your friend that sticks closer than the brother. Right on the nose, 11:30, I'm doing pretty good, but I'm going to just let you know. Diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 12 years old, I'm standing before you today at almost 49 years old.
Amen.
Now, to be honest with you, my physical man just has not caught up to the truth yet. But it will. It will. It will. I will live and not die. I will live and not die, and I know this. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these people. I thank you. Give them ears to hear, Lord. And not ears on our head, but ears in that inner part, that inward man, the belly. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to walk out whatever direction the Holy Spirit would lead them in. Many times, Lord, it's bigger than we would definitely think about doing in our heads. But Lord, give us grace. Lord, give us wisdom. I thank you and praise you for everyone here today. I pray blessings upon their families. I pray blessings upon their lives. I pray that you'd prosper them, Lord, in their jobs, in their vocations, in their volunteer work, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would prosper them. We thank you and we praise you for all that you've done in our lives. And we give you all of the glory, Lord, because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.